Amen. You'd be finding your places in Hebrews chapter number 12. Let me say a couple things real quick, if I may. First of all, a big thanks to the church here for all that you've done these past couple months, I tell you. And some of you even went out of your way to come over for Mom's visitation and funeral. And I want to thank you for that. Amen. I really do. All the kind expressions of sympathy, church giving us money, you know, just for helping us in all the expenses that we've met, and I thank you for that. I sure appreciate the Lord allowing us to be able to be here and part of the meeting. Didn't really give it much thought in the beginning, but my dad passed away in 2009, right during the course of our meeting here, and then Mom passed away in 2024, 15 years later, and because of the extension before we had the funeral, it was right at the meeting. And, you know, I don't know that there's a significance of that, but I'm just thankful that the Lord allowed it to all work out as he did. And then Shauna's dad passing away, and I do ask you to pray for her and the family especially. Lord, a touch and Lord, a help them during this time as we go through this one more time tomorrow and trust the Lord to meet the needs. My boy said to me, day or two ago when we was traveling over to get some things taken care of, he said, "Dad, we've had enough for a while." So they all think I'm about to die, and I might, but they one thing about it, if Jesus don't come, I'm going to. Amen. But I agree. And a member of my church, Brother Chuck Pruitt there, sent me a picture of his and Miss Lavella's headstone yesterday, I think it was, and I said, "No, brother, no more right now." And he said, "I'm just getting things in order." I said, "Well, I understand." And on another note, I want to thank the Lord for you ladies allowing Jessica, asking Jessica to sing with you. Brother Hyatt, talked with him a little bit the other day in person, met up with him, and he come to me. And he said, "I want to thank you for letting Jessica be a member." Amen. At Westside Baptist Church. That might not mean a thing to y'all, but it means a lot to me.
Amen.
Amen. To know that she carries that character and person about her, that he's thankful for her being Amen. There. Amen. And I appreciate that. I love my children, and I want all three of them to do great things for themselves as well as the Lord.
Amen.
And hope the best for all of them. But if nothing ever happens great in their life, I want them to know when Daddy is laying in the casket, he did all he could do.
Amen.
I want them to know that. So Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight. I've had some people ask me if I had a sugar stick. I've had some people ask me if I was going to be short. And one brother said that I don't believe in sugar and I don't wear shorts. Amen. So I guess he's expecting it not to be either one, short or sweet. And one gentleman asked me, because I don't know why somebody would label me the hammer man, but asked me if I was going to be hammering things tonight. I said, "Well, I don't know, but I don't think it is." You know, sometimes preachers get up to preach and things change in the process of the message. But I trust the Lord to help us tonight. But truly, I want to be an encouragement and a blessing to you. But I will say this. I think the message can be taken like the preacher preached this morning. I want to thank him for that message. Man, that helped me. But I think it can be taken in light of good news. And I think if you don't take it as good news, I think something might be wrong. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 12, for the sake of time, we're just going to read a few verses. We'll make some references, and I might just read some of the verses, amen, a little bit later. But I really have just primarily a three-point outline. There are some detailed points, but I primarily have a three-point outline tonight, and I want to preach if the Lord will let me, the last one. I think that's where we're at in our day and where we need to be getting to. And I trust the Lord to help us. But the Bible said, "Wherefore," and he said, that means for this reason, "seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that's a key phrase in this text that I'm reading to you tonight, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And may the Lord add his blessings to the written word. Your pastor preached a wonderful message about the mind there on Tuesday night, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm not even going to touch any of that really, but this text deals with that. How we become so weary and faint in our minds. And I trust the Lord to help us say some things tonight that will be an encouragement to you. Father, we do want to thank you again for the privilege of being in thine house. And Lord, I want to thank you, dear God, for how you've helped our soul already this morning, Lord, in the preaching time. And Lord, I thank you for the good songs of Zion we've heard sung tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you bless our hearts, Lord, not only through that singing, but Lord, through the preaching of the Word of God tonight. May we say the things that need to be said. May your Word go forth and accomplish that it needs to accomplish in each and every heart. Lord, without a doubt, you have a purpose, Lord, for everything that we preach tonight. But God, I pray that hearts would be receptive, minds, Lord, would hear, and God, we would see the blessings, Lord, for the end. And we'll thank you. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When the preacher preached what he preached this morning, without a doubt, I got reassurance of the Lord that I was right on target from what he told me to preach yesterday. I did not know that your pastor was still in Matthew. I did not know that. I did not know what he was preaching this morning. But I think you'll see where it coincides with one another and where we can get the help that we need tonight for the message. But I've entitled this message tonight, On Too Close to Turn Back Now. Amen. You know, we've always talked about how I've come too far to turn back now, and that was the original title. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to change that right before I preached it, and I did. So it's too close to turn back now. Amen. I mean, you don't understand just really how close we are. I know there's some people out there, and I'm not trying to be critical when I say this. I honestly cannot say that in their heart that there's any doubt in their mind that they're right. But there's a lot of people out there that think we might have a long way to go. I don't see that personally, amen, but I want to be ready for whichever way the Lord wants to take me out of here. Whether it be by the way of the grave or whether it be by the way of the trumpet, amen, I want to be listening, amen, and be leaving this place. Hallelujah, when that time comes. But I'm too close to quit now. And I'll be honest with you, I got too much at stake to quit now. I got three children, I got three grandchildren, I've got a son-in-law, I've got a daughter-in-law, I've got a wife, and I've got a lot of people that I've tried to witness to down through the years. A lot of people, and I ain't saying they're looking up to me, but a lot of people that has watched my life that I don't need to give in, amen, and give them an excuse to not have confidence in God, amen. And so by the Lord's grace and with his help, I plan on sticking to the end. Amen. And just trying to keep on going. I believe like the lady sung tonight. Amen. Old Paul even come to a place that he said he doubted. He said, all hope. Now I'm going to tell you something. When somebody as great as the Apostle Paul loses hope, that means something. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. Amen. If he can lose hope, how much easier can I lose hope? And he said all hope was taken away that we should be saved. Amen. But after he got along with God, and after he got a message from the Lord, he said, I believe, sirs, we're going to be all right because there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. Amen. And we're going to make it to the shoreline. Amen. And not a one of them died, amen, because of the storm. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad God will take care of his own, aren't you? Amen. And I believe I can truthfully say that out of those 276 souls, there had to be some that was lost. So God not only took care of those that belonged to Him, He took care of those that was with them that belonged to Him, that didn't belong to Him. Amen. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. Well, too close to quit. Too close to turn back. Too close to throw in the towel now, church. Too close. Amen. You say, well, what if it's another 100 years? Well, really, that's too close. Amen. And you'll get to all the message here in just a minute. But let me give you the 3 points real quick, and then we'll kind of deal with that last one for just a little bit. I don't normally do it as your pastor did this morning and as he has been doing it now for a while. But just so you know, there's reasons why people turn back. There's a recompense for turning back. But there needs to be a resolve not to turn back. And with the Lord's help, I want to get to that resolve tonight. So I'm just going to hit a few things. I'm not going to really get into some details that I could, but I am going to mention a few things tonight real quick by the help of the Lord. First of all, reasons why people turn back. And I want you to understand this is not dealing with the physical, although the physical is in relation to what Paul is saying here as running a race. You know as well as I know, a 300 or 400 pound man is not going to be able to run a race as quick or as long as somebody that's physically conditioned to run that race. You understand that. But the first problem, and I'm dealing with it on the spiritual realm, but the first problem, amen, that we have with people turning back is a weight problem. Yeah. A weight problem. Now let me just hurriedly say this. I don't have a lot of scriptures to run to or anything like that, but let me just say these things and run on. But weight. Weight is something that holds you down. Weight is something that hinders you. Weight is something that takes your air away from you. I was holding little man there tonight while we were singing that last song. And I was holding him and trying to sing. I felt my air getting less and less. Amen. I just ain't quite as fit or as young as I used to be. But nonetheless, amen, that extra little bit of weight just standing there and singing was taking its toll on me trying to sing and trying to breathe. So you can only imagine when we are carrying around the weights, amen, that we don't need to be carrying, how much harder it is, spiritually speaking, to run the race that God has set before us. We need to get rid of the weights. Amen. And now them weights are not necessarily sins. Let me hurriedly say that. Amen. I'm not saying that they couldn't be or that they might not get to that point. But those weights are not necessarily sin. Those weights can be the cares of this life. Those weights can be some of our responsibilities to our family. Some of the responsibilities of working to provide for our family. Amen. Some of the labors that we have to perform outside of spiritual duties. Amen. That takes our time and sacrifice. And those things get heavy on us. We call them burdens. Amen. But the Lord said, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Amen. So where that can become a sin is because we're not willing to obey what the scriptures tell us to do. Right. Amen. But weight is a reason why some people turn back. They're just not willing to shed the weight. Right. They're not willing to give up the cares that they have in this life, turn it over to God and allow God to work in their life. The second reason that we find in our scripture, he said, let us lay aside every weight. And then he says, and the sin. The sin. I want you to notice something about this. This is not dealing with salvation, of course. You know that. I don't have to try to go into details and explain myself on that. But he said, and the sin. And he didn't just say the sin. He said it's the sin which does so easily beset you. And there is something in each and every one of our lives tonight, and it's not the exact same thing for every person, but there is something in each and every one of our lives tonight that will hinder us from truly being able to serve the Lord as we should serve the Lord. It will hold us back in running the race and as well as possibly causing us to quit the race. Amen. To step out by the way. Joseph told his brethren, see that ye fall not out by the way. Why did he say that? Because he knew as they was going back on their journey, back home to their homeland, to their father, amen, that they might get to talking and reasoning amongst themselves. Amen. This is Joseph. This is who we sold into slavery. What is he really going to do with us if we go back? Now's our chance for escape. Now's our chance to run and hide. Now's our chance to get out from under his authority. Now's our chance to keep daddy, amen, from jumping our case. Now's our chance to get away from the reprimands that he might give us. Amen, let's run and get away from this thing. But Joseph, his last admonition to them was, see that ye fall not out by the way. There's a sin that doth so easily beset you. I'm not even reading my notes tonight. But that particular sin in your life is what's going to threaten you being able to finish your race. If you think God set a race before you for you to only run part of it, you got another thing coming. He wants you to finish the race, just like the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Hey man, I finished my course. Amen. That's what God intends for all of us to say as his children, is that we finished our course. But thirdly, the third thing, reason why people turn back is because of their sight. They ain't got their eyes in the right place. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but they need to get their eyes on Jesus. That's what he said in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. But I want you to notice they ain't got their eyes in the right place. He said in verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I don't know if any of you will agree with this tonight or not, but let me just say it this way. Hey man, whatever you may believe or whoever you may believe that cloud is, it is important or God would not have noted it here in his word. But let me just say quickly, I don't know, other than this text, your pastor might know something, you might know something, but I don't know of another place in the Word of God, amen, that the Scriptures would possibly give an indication that some people could be looking down from heaven, amen, on us. This is maybe the only place. But I want to give you what I think tonight as far as at least as a good application, I know, if not the interpretation. I don't know if mom and dad may be looking down tonight. I don't know if Brother Herbert may be able to look in tonight. I don't know that any of our other preacher friends, any of our other sage friends, any of our other family members that's saved by the grace of God can look in tonight on this service. Amen, and ag me on while I'm preaching. But what I'm telling you right now is there's some people that are looking at us around about us. And when you look up that word compassed, and I know Brother Chuck teases me about it. He says it's compass. And I know if you look it up in today's modern technology, it says compass, but I still believe it's compassed, amen. And I am surrounded tonight by a multitude of people. Everywhere I go, there's a multitude of people. And there's saved people, and there's lost people. So you tell me what's so important about me running my race. Amen. Well, I shouldn't care what other people think. Well, I don't believe that's what the Scriptures tell us. I believe we need to care what other people think. Amen. The people I work with. I had a person that I work with just this past week, and maybe won't none of them be able to listen to this, but I had a person tell me just this past week that they said they want to get me back in the office instead of out on a van driving because of the influence that I had on her to help her stay in line. What I'm telling you is that it is so important for us to run our race because of those that are around us. I don't need my eyes on you or them to run my race, but I need to have the comprehension to know that people are watching me and I need to continue in my race. I need to do it. If I don't do it for any other reason, my family If I don't do it for any other reason, I'll get to the Lord here in just a minute. But if I don't do it for any other reason, I'm talking about physically here. If I don't do it for any other reason, I need to do it for the church I pastor. I need to do it for the people I work with. I need to do it for the sinners I come in contact with. I need to be faithful to run my race because of those around me. There's a lot of people who may not like me for many reasons. And I don't mean this to sound arrogant or smart aleck, but I really don't care if they like me or not. All that matters is when the truth comes out, and one day they will have to tell the truth. Hey, man, it might be at the judgment seat or the great white throne judgment, but one day they will have to tell the truth, amen, that Joel stayed faithful to his race.
Amen.
Amen. They might not like it, but it will come out. But we are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. And we need to make sure that we stay faithful in our race for those around us.
Amen.
Amen. Fourthly, reason why some people quit is because of opposition. Preacher hit that this morning. Amen. That's what I said. These messages had to be God just lining them up. But the opposition that we face, the Bible said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Amen. And I'm going to preach that more here in just a minute. I didn't really mean to even take that long on the first point. But the second point, I'll definitely not take long here. I'll not read all the scriptures. I'll give them to you if you're taking notes. But the recompense for turning back. You know, one of the reasons why I don't want to turn back is because I know it's going to cost me. The preacher preached on what it was going to cost us to serve God today. But the dividends or the payment for serving God was going to be better, amen, than the cost that we was going to have to be initiated toward, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, there is a recompense, there is a judgment day coming, there is a loss, can I say, of our works and rewards. They'll burn up, amen, under the judgment hand of God if we do not stay faithful to the service of God. We can't turn back.
Amen.
Let me just give you these quickly. Luke 17:32. Everybody remembers Lot's wife. That's what it says. Remember Lot's wife. Probably one of the shortest verses in all the Word of God. Jesus wept, of course, is the shortest. But remember Lot's wife. Maybe the second shortest verse in the Word of God. And if I say Lot's wife, every one of you knows that she turned back. She looked back. Really, just look back. But God said, don't look back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, every one of us in here have read that, heard that, and we say we believe that. So what makes us think we can turn back and not suffer a punishment from the Lord? There's no room to turn back. There's no reason really to look back. I can give you some supposition tonight of why I believe she looked back and why I believe she wanted to go back. But none of that supposition is going to be an excuse with God. God said, don't look back.
Amen.
God's telling us tonight, church, not to turn back. We need to keep on marching forward. Amen. I believe there's a song book. I believe it's in that book there because I believe we used to sing it here quite a bit. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Amen. And we need to keep on marching. Genesis 19:26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. There's consequences for turning back.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Should we not keep on marching because we want to please the Lord? I told you I'd get to him in just a minute. I mean, if I wasn't going to serve God for any other reason, I need to serve him to please him.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He's the one that saved me. Amen. And I need to serve him to please him. 1 Corinthians 10:6-13. And I could read every one of these verses, but let me just surmise it to say this. The scriptures teach us there that he wrote all these things about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt And everything that happened to them in the wilderness there and all the judgments that came upon them for what they did wrong in turning back, wanting to go back. Everything you read about the children of Israel once they come across the Red, maybe even before the Red Sea, I can't remember right now right off the top of my head, but at least after they crossed the Red Sea, every time they got disgruntled, they wanted to go back. Just take me back to Egypt. Would to God you'd not brought us out of Egypt. What are you saying, preacher? Surely nobody here tonight would say, I wish I'd have never got saved. Surely nobody here would say, I'd rather be a lost person than to try to serve God. But that's really what they were saying. They'd have rather just throwed in the towel and give in to the world than to serve God. But the judgments came, and like I said, I don't have time to read it all tonight, but the Bible does say in verses 12 and 13, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But then he gives us that word of encouragement that lets us know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, we can serve God and be faithful to him. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's God.
Amen.
He's already made the provisions. We just have to act upon it.
Yeah, right.
Amen. But now, lastly tonight, the resolve for not turning back. The resolve for not turning back. I'm really going to just make mention of them. I've got 4 points and I think 5 sub-points, detail points under this. But the first way that we can make a resolve to not turn back is by our consciousness of those who can pass us about. I've already hit that pretty hard. I'm not going to preach it, but I am going to go back into verse number 2 because I dealt with those that are around us now. But the Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. The angel. That's Jesus. Amen. Encampeth round about them that fear him. God never told us to fear anybody but him, right?
Right. That's right.
So, he's compassed us. He's surrounded us. He's a fortress. He's our solitude. Amen. He's our high and mighty tower. Amen. I mean, anything you want to go through in the Psalms, amen, he's everything I need. Tonight, if we would just be conscious of not only those others who are compassing us, but the fact that Jesus has compassed us. He will be right there with me through it all. Amen. I talked with one man here a pretty good while back because of the end time, believing that might go through part or all of the tribulation period. And I said, let me just say it this way. And he knows what I believe. I know what he believes. And y'all know what I believe. But just in case you don't, I believe pre-trib.
Amen.
I believe we're pulling out of here, amen, before the tribulation period. Amen, before the mark of the beast. I believe when that Antichrist, the Antichrist, comes on the scene, we'll be gone. Amen. During, before, or immediately following his appearance, we're out of here. Amen. But nonetheless, I told this man, I said, if I do have to go through 7 years of tribulation according to the book of Revelation, you mark this down, God's grace is sufficient and I will get through it.
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, that's an awful bold statement. There's a lot of bad things going to happen. What can they do to a saved man? Amen. What can they do? I can't even die during that course of time. I mean, what can they do? But secondly, is the consecration of ourself. And this kind of goes back to our first point, really. All of it does. But the consecration of ourself. The preacher hit that this morning. Again, I'm not going to labor it because of that. But we need to get rid of the weights and the sin. Now, all sin needs to be removed from our life. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. You know that. But all sin, as we know it, needs to be removed from our life.
Amen.
To the best of our ability, it has no dominion over us any longer.
Amen.
If we're a child of God.
Right.
And when we know that we've committed sin against God, we need to repent of that sin.
Amen.
I know that's a lost art for word.
Right.
But we need to repent of that sin, turn from that sin, amen, and confess that sin and get right with God, amen, and whatever the opposite of that is, and live for God.
Amen.
But the weight and the sin, we have to consecrate ourselves. You know, when you have dedicated yourself, and I believe in the difference of dedication and devotion, but when you have dedicated yourself to do something for God, to give up in your life for a service unto the Lord, amen, there's no turning back from that.
Right.
It's kind of like missions. Everybody here is familiar with that, so let me just say it this way. If I say I'm going to give $100 a month to missions, I don't need to be backing up on that. I don't care how bad the vehicle breaks down. I don't care how much repair the home stands in need of. I don't care about the medical bills, and I don't care about anything else you can think of. You say, preacher, you just ain't been there. I've been more places than what you think I have. All right. I had a young lady, when I say young, she's in her 30s. Brother Shepherd will know who I'm talking about. If I said the name, he might pick up on it in the preaching. But I had a lady in our congregation that pledged so much in our faith promise giving. And I'll give you two examples. One was a young lady, 20, 21 years old. And she pledged, and due to circumstances that took place, she ended up leaving the church. And she sent us a letter the other day and a check in that letter for the amount of her faith promise missions for the rest of the year through March.
Amen. That's right. Yep.
And she didn't leave the church to go to a better church or to even go to a Baptist church, as far as I know. And then another lady in the church, the one I started to tell you about first, her income went to basically nothing, and she wasn't even hardly making ends meet. Her mom was kind of carrying the load for her on the rent and stuff. And then some money started coming in, so she immediately caught up on her missions.
Amen.
And she confessed that to the church. I mean, it wasn't a sin of her doing.
Right.
It wasn't a reason that she just wanted to go out and buy something. It was that the money was not coming in.
Right.
And so when the money started coming back in, she said, I just want the church to know this eat me alive, what was going on, but now the money's coming back in and my mission's come out.
Amen. That's good.
There's a big difference when we have willingly consecrated ourselves to serve God or to live for God in whatever way, fashion He sees fit.
Right.
See, if you do it for the preacher, you didn't do it for much. If you did it because of your fellow brethren, you didn't do it for much. If you did it because you had a burden for a missionary, you didn't do it for much. But when you do it for God, it means everything. And it'll mean something to you if you can't fulfill that obligation. And it's not just missions. I hope you understand that. But when we consecrate ourselves, we need to get rid of every weight and sin that might hinder us in that service.
Amen.
On thirdly, and this is a real good one, not because I'm preaching it, it's just a real good one. Brother Steve, I never have read the whole book. I started reading it some in a PDF file, but he turned me on to a book called Christian Contentment, the jewel, I think, of Christian Contentment. Is that right? And I've never finished reading the book, but as Lord laid this text on my heart and I began to study it, I thought about that book. And I think one of the reasons why people have so much problem is because they're not resolved to run the race that is set before them.
Right.
They want to run somebody else's race.
Yep. Yep.
You say, where'd you get that? Well, let me show you. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. When you look up that word patience, it means to become content. And if I can add this to it as an example, with such things as you have. Bible talks about being content with your wages and different things like that. Listen to me. We got too many people that want to run somebody else's race. God didn't call everybody to preach. God didn't call everybody to pastor that he did call to preach. God didn't call everybody to the mission field that he called to preach. God didn't call everybody to be deacons. God didn't call everybody to be Sunday school teachers. God didn't call everybody, amen, to clean the toilets. But it's got to be done. The carpet's got to be vacuumed. The dishes have to be washed. Maintenance, repairs have to be made. What are you getting at, preacher? I don't know what race God set before you, but I know what one he didn't set before you. Amen. I'm the pastor of Vision Baptist Church. That's not your lot. That's not your race. Brother Shepherd's the pastor of Island Ford Baptist Church. That's not my race. That's not your race. That's his race. Well, the church had, well, we don't want to get into that tonight, but I'm telling you right now, if God called him to run the race to be the pastor at Island Ford Baptist Church, then he is the pastor. He's to run that race, and it ain't your obligation. God didn't put you here on the seats to run the show.
Amen.
That was free. Amen. You cannot put a resolve in your heart to run the race and try to run somebody else's. Amen. You've got to run your own. Fourthly, the consideration of Jesus. You say, well, you already said look unto Jesus. Yeah, but the Bible said more than just look to him. He said to consider him. That means to think upon, to examine his life, what happened to him, what he did it for. When you consider, surely... I didn't call you Shirley. Surely, when you go to buy a vehicle, you don't just say, oh, that's a pretty paint job, I'm buying it. I mean, it might not even have an engine in it, but you're going to buy it because it's got a pretty paint job. That's you? Please, no. I'd hate to think I was talking about somebody in here. My point is this. You would raise the hood, check the oil. If it has a transmission dipstick, most vehicles don't now. You'd check transmission fluid, see if it was dark in color, if it smelt burnt. Then you would start it up and listen to the engine run. I mean, some of you are mechanics in here. You know more about checking this stuff than I do. I hate to say it, but one of the first things I look at when I go to look at a vehicle is the shape the tires are in. Most of the time, they've already put a brand new set of tires on it, so you can't tell much. But if they haven't put a brand new set of tires on there, and you know them tires are about halfway worn out, you can get a good idea if the front end's all messed up, or in the case of a front-wheel drive, if the rear end is all messed up in alignment. Be good indications that either it hasn't been very well taken care of or that it's been in a wreck. I mean, there's just so many things. I don't have time to get into all that. But in other words, what I'm saying is, you take time to think about this, consider it, to look it over, to give it an examination. One of your children has a spot come up on them all of a sudden. Surely you don't just say, oh, grow up, put your big boy britches on. No, you check it out. You see what a problem is. I mean, if you know they're not hurt, that's a different story. But what I'm saying is, if you see an indication of hurt, something wrong, you don't just ignore it.
Right.
You investigate.
Amen.
So let's consider Jesus tonight. I'm talking about a resolve so we don't quit in the race of God.
Right. Amen.
Let's consider him. Five things I want to give you real quick. First of all, his power. The Bible said he's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
That don't just mean that he starts our faith and that he finishes our faith. I told you, I've done a little bit of consideration on this text now. It's not like I used to preach it. When he says he's the author and the finisher of our faith, what he's telling us is I've already started this out just like you're going to start this out. And I've already completed it just like one day you're going to complete it. So if I've already started it and I've already completed it and I got the job done, so can you.
Amen. Amen.
Big difference when you consider something.
Right.
And you just skim over it.
Amen.
Big difference. Back there in that radio station, Brother Steve tried to teach me a few things. I just got by. That's all I did. I knew my time here was short. I didn't know how short, but I knew it was short. Amen. Probably longer than some people wanted, but nonetheless, it was short. Not that education couldn't hurt me a bit, amen, in the long run down the road. But I didn't have to worry about the starting and the completion here. But when it comes to the race God set before me, I have to worry about it. And he's already started it, and he's already completed it. So if he's already started it and he's already completed it, he knows exactly the path that I'm going to have to take, and he can help me through whatever I've got to face. Consider him, and you'll make it through the race. Notice, secondly, we need to consider Jesus because he considered the prize. Who for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. I want to say this real quick. I thought about it this morning. It wasn't in my notes now, and it wasn't in my notes then. But God gave it to me when the preacher was preaching this morning. You know, in our day and time, mostly, I won't say in every situation, but mostly, we have to pay somebody to do something. We have to reward them. We have to give them a prize to get them to do what we want them to do. But that's not the Bible way.
Right.
The Bible way is you do the work and then you get the prize.
Right.
You get the job done and then the prize comes. Jesus, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he endured the cross and despised the shame because he saw the joy of his bride.
Amen.
His prize.
Right.
The joy that was set before him. Surely y'all don't think the cross was his joy. No. He plainly said he endured that and despised the shame of that. But the joy was you and I.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that does a little something for me.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, it's been a little while ago, but somebody asked me one time, said, how in the world did you get Shauna to even give you the time of day? I said, I don't know, but when she did, I held on to her. Amen. Wasn't no need in letting her go. I got her suckered in somehow. Maybe somebody else told her something. I don't know. But my point is, I got my prize. Now, she might have thought she got the shaft. I don't know, but I got the prize. Amen. She'll give me $20 later for saying that. Need to consider his persecution.
Amen.
He endured the cross and despised the shame. I want to ask you a question. Now, preacher preached this morning about how we got to pick up our cross, and every one of us have one. But I'm talking about his cross. Not one of us has had to suffer like that. I dare say, at least in our normal frame of mind, I dare say that anybody in here that would have had power to call down the angels of glory to smite these men, lightning to smite these men, or just come down off the cross to show these men who he was, I guarantee if we'd have had that power, we would have done it. But it took the better man.
Amen.
And it took the God man.
Amen.
To do what he did. Are we willing to, and our suffering and our shame is nowhere near in comparison to his. Our sacrifice, our suffering is nowhere near what he had to pay. if we could consider, I used this illustration when I did preach this message. I was out cleaning some brush line where we mow. I was out doing some trimming of some bushes and trees, limbs and stuff for Brother Chuck so he wouldn't knock his head off with the tractor. But when I got into this one patch, it was just briars and a thicket. I don't know what you call it. I don't know all that stuff. I ain't educated on it. But I know one thing. When I grabbed a hold of it, it hurt. I didn't have to have much education for that. And when that thorn stuck and broke, dead now, but when it stuck in me and my finger, and it hurt. I mean, hurt. I was like, oh! I mean, I screamed. Good thing nobody's ran. And that thing festered up and hurt me for days. Just that one little bitty thorn, brother, that wasn't much bigger than a ballpoint pen. And I immediately began to think of the crown that they put on Jesus' head.
Amen.
And then smoked that thing down on his head with a rod. Scholars tell us that those thorns, the size of those thorns, the sharpness of those thorns, and the way that they beat that crown of thorns on his head literally would have pierced his skull. You think I need to cry about having a little problem? Come on. He endured the cross for us.
Amen.
He despised the shame of it, but he endured the cross.
Amen.
He suffered it all that I might go free.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say, fourthly, we need to consider his place. Jesus knew he was going to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look what he said at the end of verse number 2. He said, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, well, he knew he was going to heaven when all that was done. Well, where are we going? I'm pretty sure he said, if you let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Amen.
I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
I think that means we're going to be with him, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was smart enough to figure that out. God's got us a place.
Right.
We need to consider that.
That's good. Yes.
Before you're ready to kick out of the traces.
Yep.
Before you're ready to throw down the harness.
Yep.
But get rid of his yoke. Hey, it might be a little bit of a yoke. It might be a little bit of a burden. But I guarantee it's a lot lighter than what this world's going to put on you.
Amen.
Amen. But before you consider throwing that out and quitting on God, why don't you consider what he's done for you, where he's at, and where he's carrying you to. Amen. He's got a place. And then lastly, we see his pattern. His pattern. I didn't even hit this part when I talked about his prize, the joy. That was us, his bride. We've got a prize too. It's not heaven. That's just a benefit. The prize is we got Jesus, the bridegroom.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just throw that in there real quick before I move on. But the pattern. The reason why we need to consider Jesus is so we don't become weary and faint in our minds. Jesus didn't become weary and faint in his mind. Like the preacher said this morning, his face was set as a flint. I mean, he knew what he came to do, and he was going to do it.
Right.
Amen. So we need to not become weary and faint in our minds because Jesus did not become weary and faint in his mind.
Right.
Did or did not the Bible say in Philippians chapter number 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One of y'all read it this morning. You?
Right.
Amen. You say, but preacher, I'm not God. Well, I know he was God, but he was man too.
Right. That's right.
How do you think that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities?
Right.
Why do you think the Bible says that he suffered in all points common to man, yet without sin? Why do you think the Bible tells us again in Galatians that we in due season we shall reap if we faint not? Why do you think the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Well, I don't see much good happening, preacher. Well, you ain't looking in the right place. You still have your mate, maybe. You still have your children, maybe. You still have a good church come to. You still have a good pastor that loves you, cares for you. Amen. Preaches the truth to you. I think you got more good going for you than what you realize.
Amen.
Amen. And I could name a lot more things. Amen. I'm not here to meddle. I'm not here to get personal. I'm just here to preach. Amen. Well, I really didn't even come to do that. And I know what we said in the meeting about I didn't say, but what some other people said about preachers. I'm always ready. God touches the pastor's heart or the moderator's heart of a meeting and calls on me to preach. I want to be ready. I want to be faithful. But I really didn't just drive another 500 miles again just to come preach. Amen. But his pattern, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, we find that the Bible said he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary in your minds. Do we even begin to understand or have a clue just how much contradiction Jesus faced? I don't think we do. I don't think that, well, I'll put it this way. I'm not smart enough to get a true, vivid picture in my mind of what Jesus went through for me. I've heard some good preachers preach some good messages on it, but I still don't believe they've got everything down. You can't go to Psalm 22 and then read the accounts that we have in the Gospels of Jesus on the cross and his life and the sufferings that he had while he was living here on earth. I just don't believe that it's explainable. I really don't. So if it's come to a place that it is inexplainable, then I want to say it's totally non-understandable. But I think we can understand enough to know that we shouldn't give out on him because he didn't give out on us.
Amen.
Although Satan does all he can do to cause us to fall out by the way, God has given us the way of escape that we may finish our course with joy and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Amen. I thought of this the other day, and maybe this is straining it, and if you feel like it is, please disregard it if it hinders you from getting what God wants you to get from the rest of the message. But you know, when the Lord gave those servants those talents and told them to work it, put it to use, when he come back to reward those servants, I'm not even dealing with the unfaithful servant, but when he come back to reward those faithful servants, he said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Maybe I'm straining. If I am, the preacher can correct it all and let you know different. But he didn't say you've been faithful in everything. He said, but you have been faithful in a few things. And because of that, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. God knows we're made of nothing but dust. And he knows we're not going to be perfect in everything. And when I say perfect, I'm talking about mature and capable of completing the task. But if we'll just be faithful in what he's given us to do, he'll reward us.
Amen.
Amen. Don't kick out of the race. We're too close to turn back now, church. Father, take the word of God and use it for your honor and glory as the pastor comes. I pray, Lord, you give him direction for the invitation. May every heart and life here be touched through the word of God. May they have a determination, Lord, to stay more faithful than they've ever been. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As the pastor comes, closes out the service as he sees fit, I trust you'll do business with the Lord tonight.